Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
In a 2023 general household survey, Stats SA revealing that only 14.5% of South African households have access to fixed internet, with the highest penetration in the Western Cape. Now, despite this progress, low-income communities still face challenges, particularly the high cost of mobile data, which often exceeds the affordability of fibre. I'm going to talk now to Shane Chorley, who is Chief Executive Officer of Frogfoot Networks, and he believes that rolling out sustainable high-speed fibre connections to those communities is not only feasible, but imperative. So, Shane, first of all, then, what are the main challenges, difficulties, in your opinion, in providing affordable high-speed internet to underserved communities in the country?
Look, I mean, I think first and foremost, in providing reliable connectivity into these communities, there's obviously a costing element that we have to be able to overcome in order to provide the services at a reasonable rate that can be consumed by end users and they can actually afford it. So I think that would be the first challenge. And we've gone large strides in actually achieving that in multiple ways that I think we will continue with talking about today. The other challenges that exist are really challenges within the communities where we work with these communities. And most probably the most particular challenge that we have is that throughout the communities, there are relevant different forums within those communities that ultimately would like to participate in the program. And due to the cost of how we actually have to deploy, not everybody can actually participate in those programs. So we do get caught up in some community forums, but I think to a large extent, we're slowly starting out, we're working our way through those challenges. And with the community's help, they assist us to get through those challenges.
It's always the human factor, isn't it? How can one be more incorporative then in this respect?
The way that we've structured our program in getting into these communities, what we believe it's a full ecosystem, where we really believe that we engage with the communities and employ locals from within the communities to be part of the program. And I think that's really the only way of achieving it.
One of the other issues, aside from the human factor, is cost, which I'm going to assume is a major barrier for many households. Are there more innovative or imaginative processes, Shane, that can be taken to ensure that these services remain affordable for low-income communities?
Yeah, I think as all the fiber operators, we've really driven the costs down significantly. And there really are two factors that influence the cost. The first factor is the network build side. So if you can imagine building the actual network, there's a cost attached to that. And then the second thing is the adoption from the community, because as you can imagine, the more users that are on the network, the easier it is to actually overcome the costing challenges on the network.
Is there anything specific that the Western Cape is doing? Because I read that it is leading in fixed internet access.
I think the biggest thing that the Western Cape has in an advantage, it has highly densely populated, low-income areas. And from a simple build cost point of view, the more densely populated an area, the more affordable we can make the network side and ultimately delivering more affordable packages to end users. I think the other thing that the Western Cape has done extremely well is that from a government and a local municipality point of view, they've been very forthcoming in assisting the fibre operators in attaining wayleaves and actually dealing with the community challenges that we have.
I would suggest to you that there's high density in Johannesburg, for instance. So it's not just that, surely, it's about policy.
Correct. And that was why I mentioned my second point around the fact them assisting us with actually getting wayleaves in place and assisting us with the communities.
So what specifically are they doing in that respect to ease the passage?
Yeah, they just work with us a lot closer in order to actually work with those communities and assist us to, as fiber operators, not to overbuild each other. So they're very specific in where we can build and how we build. And they've been quite forthcoming in actually promoting, where to build and how to build it.
What about advancements in fiber technology itself and then the enablement to more efficient and widespread connectivity? I presume that's happening exponentially.
Yes, I think it is happening exponentially. The only thing I want to mention on that is that ultimately fiber is sort of, it is fiber, there's no real a huge advancement on the actual fiber tech that can be changed. But what we've done as a community is we've significantly changed the deployment of fiber. So simple examples are, you know, when we first started to roll out fiber into a number of homes, we obviously used a trench technology, which ultimately, you know, we had to actually go and trench either side of the road and dig into people's driveways and along the road. Throughout most of these communities that we're now deploying, we use aerial technology, which is definitely a lot more cost-effective. There are some long-term downsides of it, but you know, from a cost point of view, it really allows us to deploy fast and a lot cheaper than in previous deployments.
And Shane, what about the cooperative relationship between the fiber providers and the internet service providers? How can the two of you work together to improve the whole process among the communities that you serve?
Yeah, Jeremy, that's a critical part of this this puzzle that we put together, and our ISPs are effectively our go-to-market strategy to all the end users, and there's a lot of things that they can do in order to improve the service and improve the adoption. And I think for me, there's sort of one major thing, and that is the full education of, you know, what we are actually deploying into homes in these communities, because it's vastly different to what people are used to. You know, previously they used to receive all their data via mobile. And now in these communities, we have devices that go into every single home. And as an example, those devices, that's just an enabler in order to deploy internet into that home. But education about how to use it, how to recharge, and how to share it with the home, because it's no longer, you know, only your device that actually has access to the internet, but it actually gives the whole home access. And it's access to the internet in an uncapped manner. So there's no caps on data or additional bills you're going to receive if somebody downloads a huge file or whatever the case may be. It's completely uncapped. So I think education from the ISP point of view is so critical. And then finding ways on how to subsidize some of the packages through various mechanisms, whether it be paid for advertising, whether it be, you know, sponsorships, whether it be CSI funding. There's just numerous ways that ISPs can become innovative in order to ultimately get internet to into people's hands.
Just a final and a quick one. Is there any way of measuring the social and economic impact of services on local communities? In other words, how their lives are improving for the better?
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. And it's something that we grapple with on a daily basis, because there's not really an exact way of doing it. But, you know, what we can see is as we see the adoption into these communities and the users using the services more and more, and particularly the throughput of the services increasing, sort of gives us the feeling that users in the communities are using these services for things that generate revenue. So whether you become a teacher that can educate from home, whether you are working for Amazon from home because now you are able to do that, or if you are just simply a student that's consuming more education at home. So we really believe that we are making a difference into these communities, but your question around how we actually measure it, one, and we're not 100% sure exactly how to do that.
I'm going to leave it there. Shane Chorley, thank you very much indeed. Chief Executive Officer of Frogfoot Networks. Shane, thank you.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.